This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh music, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 28th of May, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. It's 10:11, so by now everybody has basically said their prayers, and I said a little prayer for you. I hope you said a little prayer for someone else, too. Joining me in studio today is Michaela Forbes, the artistic accountant.
Hey, Erin.
Morning and welcome back.
Thank you, Erin. It's great to be here. Good morning, Bahamas.
So we're closing off May with a discussion about mental health and wellness because May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
It's across the global north. It's a recognized day. We didn't do enough talking about it in the month of May, but hopefully we can close out the month of May with a conversation filled with resources and ideas for people who are searching for strategies to not just navigate their life, but to maintain mental, emotional, and psychological wellness and balance. Michael is going to join me throughout the conversation this morning. I have some housekeeping, and there's some themes that I want to kind of focus on in the discussion. We are talking primarily about personal mental health and wellness, but I also want to explore what collective unwellness, mental unwellness looks like, and how people are expected to deal with sort of grand or national level or community level. Like, they're expected to deal with stresses beyond themselves,
yes,
as individuals. And sometimes some of the issues that we're facing require a collective response.
Yes.
Right? So we want to explore those things as well. And then we have some resources and information. I also have thought I had a wonderful article by Alicia Wallace in May the 15th Tribune. I do have those notes here somewhere. And that article is filled with resources for people at the personal level who are struggling sometimes with very big things and sometimes with
small things,
that add up.
Yes.
And sometimes the small things are insurmountable as individuals. So we're going to talk a bit about that. Let's get the show started with a couple of housekeeping notes. The Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association meeting, the general meeting for the month of May, is taking place this Thursday. That's Thursday, the 30th of May, 2024, at 6 p.m. at St. John's College. We're going to be discussing the details for the HHT Family Association breakfast and jumble sale, where we are collecting used, gently used, and maybe some new items from family members to sell at this HHT fundraiser. That's Saturday, the 8th of June at Hibiscus Wash House. You can bring donations, drop-off donations, to the HHT Family Association meeting this Thursday, 30th of May, as well as you can ensure that you have all the details for the upcoming Family Association reunion. It's going to be a good time. That's August 1st through 4th. And a couple of items in the news. I saw an Instagram video of the airport in Mayaguana. Now, I'm not sure how old the video is. This may be a repost. But as I'm looking at this headline, Bimini Airport is set to get major 24,000 square foot facelift. I want to tell you all that the Mayaguana Airport needs a body lift. You need to lift the whole body up, move it, and put it somewhere else, and then put a proper airport in Mayaguana. The water covered the floor by about anywhere from 2 inches to ankle deep.
Oh, wow.
Roughly, in the video. In fact, I don't even want to say it was a video of the Mayaguana Airport. It cannot be a video of the Mayaguana Airport. It just cannot be. Also, in my travels, I encountered a tourist couple who referenced that there's no customs officer in Mayaguana. I thought we already realized that wherever a tourist could go, a customs officer must be there, and an immigration officer must be there to meet them.
Yes.
Anywhere a tourist could go. Anyway, some people don't believe that Mayaguana is a real place, but I'm here to tell you that Ragged Island is the place that's not a real place. Only one person lives in Ragged Island, and that's Mr. Calvin Lockhart, who tied himself to a tree because the rule is you got to have one person living on the island for it to be a real place. He had to tie himself to a tree to be able to maintain the identity of the island. But Mayaguana is a real place, and perhaps it's about time we start treating it like a real place as opposed to a politician's backyard. Which is interesting because buses don't run that way, Mr. Gray. Okay, another story in yesterday's news. Now, I pulled this information from a video report on Eyewitness News last night. I didn't see it in today's Tribune, and I haven't seen it yet in today's Guardian. The title of the video segment on Eyewitness News was Future of National Examinations Unclear. This is a part of the reason why I want uncertainty to be a theme in today's conversation.
Yes.
Here's what I gleaned from the report and statements by the Minister responsible for Education and Technical and Vocational Training, the Honorable Glenys Hannah Martin, and the President of the Bahamas Teachers Union, Belinda Wilson. This is what I've gathered from their statements. How could a D-average sort of stigmatize the students? Dear Minister, a D-average cannot stigmatize students. But students who are not encouraged to excel beyond the basic can become stigmatized in a world that has far exceeded the basic. Perhaps we are stigmatizing young people by not properly preparing them for the world that not only they will be required to navigate, but they will be required to navigate on behalf of their families, their children, their loved ones. They will become adults, and they will have families to lead in the same way that we have a government to lead, a country to lead. A D is not satisfactory. That's not an indictment on the D is the average and there's nothing wrong with. A D is not satisfactory. Perhaps we turn this education culture around by beginning to declare what is the truth. And the truth is, a D is not satisfactory. We have to burn that out of the brains of our young. We have to unlearn that.
It's not.
A D isn't satisfactory. Now, it was more in the report that concerned me. The union has been suggesting that the government adopt a different practice in terms of assessment of achievement. And the suggestion has been pulled from the practice of some global North countries during the pandemic, where students couldn't gather to sit exams. Those countries used the year's work to assess and give the student a grade. Well, the pandemic is over, Ministry of Education, and this seems like you're conceding. It seems like you're saying we're failing. Now, maybe the way that we examine our students can change, mm-hmm. like the mode of the exam, yeah. how exams are structured, how we teach for exams. Perhaps that needs to change. But to me, it seems like a cop-out. It seems like a cop-out. It seems like we're saying that we don't have the resources to provide the service that we say that we should be providing. I'm very concerned about that. But more importantly, I'm concerned about the lack of clarity. See, for students, your adult and professional life begins at grade 9 when you decide which BJCs you're going to take. Because what BJCs you take and excel in will propel you into streams in high school. So from grade 9, students should be tracking their goals and their desires in education. Students not just deserve, they require clarity and certainty for academic success. I wanted to just drop those two stories in the paper because I don't think we spend enough time focusing on the mental health and wellness needs of people living in the external archipelago. I don't think that we assess it, and I know we don't, because at the policy level, we can see that policies are not devised. It doesn't appear that they're devised to govern an archipelago that takes into account the equality and equity, right? They don't take into account that there must be equal and equitable access to state services, no matter where you are in the country. The government has that obligation to do that. And they're also obligated, they're obliged to facilitate or create an environment where private sector service providers also understand the nature of the archipelagic Bahamas and the need to offer services equally and equitably. I think these are some of the issues that we don't consider when we're talking about mental health and wellness.
Yeah.
So this morning we're going to have a conversation with Ms. Michaela Forbes about her work and her project, A Safe Space Podcast, the specific themes of that, and then we're going to have a broader conversation about mental health and wellness. As we get the show started, I want to share some contact information. Bahamas Psychological Association, their telephone number is 356-0039. And you can use their website or use their resources to find psychologists and psychiatrists, to find service providers for mental health and wellness, and to find stakeholders and possible participants in mental health and wellness projects. Also, the Child Adolescent Helpline number, 819-7652. The Creole Helpline number, 454-2993. The male adult helpline number 821-8123 and the general helpline numbers 815-5850, 812-0576, 816-3799. There's also the Bahamas Mental Health Association, and you can find them on Facebook, and I think they may have a website, but you can contact them for resources also. But today we're talking about an extraordinary, ordinary person that created a space for ordinary people to support each other in their mental health and wellness journey. Good morning, Mrs. Forbes. How are you?
Good morning again, Erin. Good morning again, Bahamas. I am great. And May is Mental Health Month. Will you talk more about mental health?
Absolutely. I got a text here. Good morning, Erin. Meguana never had an airport. That building was a fire truck house for the American military bases during the Cold War and the space program in the 60s. The base was used as a missile tracking base. Well, I'm sure they use it now as a mailboat tracking base.
Yeah.
Sometimes y'all treat people in Meguana bad. I don't like it.
Not just Meguana, but people.
Oh, text, I'm going to get to that text. I have a text here, and it has all of the issues that may have us, some of us, stressed out. But I'm not going to get to that text in a minute. Let's talk about a safe space podcast. What is it? What is a safe space?
Oh, my, Erin. A safe space podcast. I actually started this podcast when I was going through one of the lowest points of my life. About 3 years ago, I was married, but I was very, 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 very unhappy. My cup was empty. I would even say at a negative. Mm-hmm. And I decided to get a separation. And when I did, it didn't get yay. It wasn't like yay. Like, I didn't want to get a separation. I just knew that that's where it was leading to. That's mm-hmm. where I had to go. And when I decided to do a separation, I went into a point where I would call it clinically depressed. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just didn't know. As you talk about uncertainty, mm-hmm. separation and divorce brings uncertainty to the max. People compare it to a death, but it in itself is just almost like a crashing of your whole world. Mm-hmm. So when I went through that, I had a strong support system. I had my family who was saying they were going to support me. I went to a therapist, but still, I couldn't, by myself, crawl my way out of this situation. I had to talk to God. I'd talk to a therapist, talk to trusted people. And then I said, but what are people who don't have that? I wanted to create a safe space for somebody who don't have what I have, just to make their experience just a little bit easier. So that's why I created a safe space. And a safe space has been a healing experience for not only the people watching it, it's also been a healing experience for me. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I created it for people to start their healing journey and continue on it with me.
So what's the format of the show? Do you invite sort of ordinary people to talk about their personal experience with divorce? Do you invite sort of, I want to say casual observers, right? But nobody is a casual observer in marriage. That's why if you're getting married in a traditional, I would say Anglican Catholic service, a portion of the litany speaks directly to the members of your community mm-hmm. who've invited to mm-hmm. the wedding, right? So there are no casual observers. So who are your guests and who's your target audience?
Oh, wow. Good question. So I first thought my target audience would have been women and women going through divorce. Mm-hmm. But literally, when I started season one, my target audience kind of grew. Men were contacting me and say, hey, we need to talk about divorce too. We have feelings too. So it started where I knew few women who were divorced and they needed to talk about it. And I said, let's do this. But men started saying, hey, I want to talk too. So in the first season, I had 3 males come on and talk about their experience on divorce and 5 females. And this season I have 4 males and 4 for females. So the target audience group, it's male or female. And right now we're talking about divorce. We're more talking about healing for life after divorce.
Right, because I imagine most people will say, well, the divorce in and of itself heals you, right? But the divorce is just a part of a process. For instance, the divorce
is almost just like the beginning. It's almost like the start. You have a long journey of healing in order to get to a healthy place where you are in a position to even date again, in a position to even love yourself to the point where you should be dating again. So the divorce is literally just the start. So we're more talking about healing for life after divorce. When people think about mental health, they think more physical. They think about more, okay, am I eating well? Am I exercising well? Did I go and get my annual checkup? But we don't think about the psychological. What are our thoughts, you know? Mm-hmm. The emotional, what are our feelings? Have we been feeling very down lately? Do we want to go to work or we just want to stay in bed? They don't talk about the spiritual and the social, but all of that is a part of your health. To be a whole person, you have to look at everything. The physical is just a part of it. So I just want to open up a conversation more about mental health. And I think one of the conversations, how do I do that, is through talking about healing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So faith is not just a big part of your work, but a part of who you are.
Yes.
Right? I have two questions here. And then I realized they ain't even the questions I want to ask. I got to ask them. Spiritual practice as an expression of faith. I think there's the need to consider faith and mental wellness and mental health.
Yes.
But there's also another step beyond that, which is, I think, spiritual practice
yes.
as a part of your mental health practice.
Yes.
Right? So I want to put that there. And then I want to say, for divorced people, though, are people hesitant to go to church and faith-based services? Mm. And are people anxious or hesitant to turn to members of their spiritual or religious church community because of fear that they're going to get one response, which is, the Bible say you don't get divorced for better or for worse.
Yes.
Work it out.
People are definitely hesitant because in the Bible it says God hates divorce. So when they go to church, they think that's the only, you know, that's the only avenue. Stay married or else. Stay in a bad marriage or else. But it's not the case. God also offers grace and he offers forgiveness. And when I went to my pastor in my church and I told him I was getting divorced, the support was, if that's what the Holy Spirit has led you to do and that's what you need to do, do it. So there are people out there who will understand and support you. You just have to be willing to open up. If you know that in yourself you've done everything you can, you're ready to talk to God, let me start there. Have a personal relationship with God. It's not about going to church. It's about having a personal relationship with him. Praying and talking to him every day. Reading that Bible and letting those words speak to you yourself. And uncluttering your mind and your heart to hear what he has to say. So you kind of know the next step before you even go to anyone on the outside. So I kind of already knew I was heading towards a separation divorce before I even went to my pastor. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit already released me. I had gotten separated 3 times and he had told me, no, go back, mm-hmm. go back. The third time he says, you've done everything you can do. You're released. Okay. That comes from having your own relationship with God.
From your personal experience and engagement with your guests, when do you know, I mean, beyond, well, it's faith without works is dead.
Yes.
How do you recognize or, you know, what do people say, how did they come to that moment when they knew that they had tried, I've tried, and I don't need to try anymore, or I don't want to say it like that, I need to now focus my trying on myself, trying to get better, trying to heal.
So everybody's story was different and everybody came to that conclusion different ways. But a common theme that I hear is almost like you become a shell of yourself. Mm-hmm. You become so so unhealthy on a long-term basis that you cannot even function the way you used to function. The joy in your life is just like zapped away. So it's almost like on a long-term basis, if you find yourself emotionally depleted, mentally depleted, and somebody's supposed to be your partner might still be adding to the situation instead of trying to help to make it better, and it's on a long-term basis, then you have to start to ask yourself, is this the right place for you? And some people make the decision in a year. Some people take 5 years before they decide to get separated. I don't think anybody wants to get a divorce. One of my guests said he would never have chosen it, but he won't change it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would never have chosen to have that testimony of he went through a divorce and he's now healing and he's now in a better place. He would have chosen he's actually a pastor. Mm-hmm. He would have chosen a testimony of saying, my marriage made it. It went through bad, it went through worse, but we made it, we came out better. But that is not a story. So he would not have chose the story of divorce, but he wouldn't change it because the lives he's affecting now and the lives he's changing, that's his testimony. And that's what God, the purpose God has for his life.
Of your guests, the people who have reached out to you to say, I'd like to talk, and the people you've identified, how many of them are the people that petitioned for divorce, and how many of them are the people that were petitioned for divorce? And on both sides, I think it's hard to reconcile with the idea that I still love you, mm-hmm. but I need to get a divorce.
Honestly, from my guest, the 16 guests I've had so far, it's almost split. Some have been the ones who have cheated, mm-hmm. who have abused, and some have been the ones who were the ones that were cheating on or was abused, emotionally, mm-hmm. mentally, physically. So it's been split. So some are the ones who ask for divorce, and some of the ones who say, hey, I'm getting a divorce. Their partner asks for divorce. Mm-hmm. So it's actually split. But no matter if you ask for divorce or somebody asks you for a divorce, there are parts of you that it takes two to get a divorce. So even though you might not have been the one who cheated, you had a part to play in that divorce. So even though I might not have been the one who did the final straw and maybe cheated, mm-hmm. I might have been the one who didn't speak up 2 years before that. So you, even though it's been time to move on, you have to assess your part in the divorce. What part did you play to get your marriage to that point? Even though you might not have been the one that put the nail in the coffin. And I had to come take a while before I got to that part. But that actually brings more healing because you can say, okay, that makes you now wiser. You can do things better. Mm-hmm. And you are now on a path to becoming the better version of yourself.
Absolutely. We're going to a break. And the reason I chose this song, right, is because sometimes we think that once the divorce is finalized, that means that these people don't ever see each other or talk to each other again. They live in totally different universes. They're not expected to share space. But I imagine it goes more like this song. Even when we divorce, especially if we have children together, I say a little prayer for you, you know. Don't make me suck my teeth. Don't make me try to smile. Just I'm going to say my prayer and go about my business, please. Yes. And when we go into a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation. And I want to ask another question about people who process divorce by celebrating it. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We have Michael Forbes, the artistic accountant, and the host of the podcast, A Safe Space. We'll be right back.
Is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Say a little prayer for you. What goes in my head now? I'm wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Now, I still think the song is gender neutral. I'm not saying the man them is put on their makeup and put on their dress, but I tell you what, I feel like men sort of embody more the idea that the divorce doesn't mean that the relationship is completely cut off. Like, my ex-wife called me, she have a flat tire, I gonna go help her. Like, men are, and I will use the word decent. Of all of God's people, men are decent, you know.
Oh, wow.
But I know a lot of men, that even when the intimate partner part of the relationship is over, and especially if they have kids together, right, because you are the baby's father, you're the children's father, they extend themselves beyond what may be the acceptable community rules. And so I see on social media a lot of conversation around whether a man is stepping beyond the bounds of his current relationship by attending to the needs of an ex, right? But I think that we need to practice grace and empathy in those instances and understand that a divorce does not render two people to different planets.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That they will still possibly interact.
And coexist.
And so, you know, I wanted to put that out there, that some of these men are actually, they decent bad men.
Yeah, they might be decent, but let's talk about men are more logical, women are more emotional. So men can put certain things in a box, and but women, we operate, everything is kind of connected. So we might need a little space before we're able to extend that grace.
Yeah.
We might need that space in order to heal a little bit before we can extend that grace. But man could just put it in a box. Okay, car, ex, girlfriend, new girlfriend, all that in a box. But women, we are very emotional creatures. We might need a little time to say, hey, to forgive whatever happened, forgive yourself, and then extend that grace. So I just want to put that out there. Women are more emotional. Women, yeah, we can use some emotional intelligence, but emotions are actually also a very good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. They're indicators. Emotions are indicators, right? You are in a sort of a calm mood and suddenly something happens, there's some stimuli.
Yes.
And you have a particular response. It's important to be able to sit with that.
Sit with that emotion.
Right.
And say why and assess it.
Because it leads to something.
Yes. And I think men can do a little better with that.
Okay.
Just sitting with their emotions and not just pushing it down and going back to the logic. You know, a lot of men say, I don't need to talk to anybody. Talk to who? Who could tell me how to, you know, how to run my house?
Eyes,
you know?
Man. Who
eyes, man.
To be
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. But in wisdom and less logic, you might have to just sit with your emotions. And yes, people can, outside of you, help you and help you to have a better marriage and just be a better person in general.
The value of talking to and sharing with our peers and sort of ordinary people like us.
Yes.
There's a group run by Dr. David Allen, I'm not sure if it's still functioning, called The Family, where ordinary, regular people would come together and sort of peer counsel and share with each other. And I think that's so important.
I actually think that might still be functioning, yes.
Does society in any way, though, discourage men from engaging in this sort of I wanted to call it tight talk, because mm-hmm. I imagine men sort of sit together in a quiet space. You know, there's not yes. In the park a big open conversation.
Yes.
But is society, and I know I watch a lot of social media, and I see more and more spaces men are
opening
creating
up
for each other
yes.
to talk about these things. But in terms of the Bahamas and the Caribbean region, outside of music, because if you listen to the local music, you'll hear the men
expressing
talking
themselves.
About the things.
Mm-hmm.
Stalit, a plenty song, and he has a theme. He said, y'all around here with this CYC, he don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
He, as far as he's concerned, it means check yourself, cuz, which is like check on yourself.
Self, when you say it.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's most important. Check on yourself, cuz. Put this briefcase down. I ain't going downtown. I think that's Bazzi. I ain't going to keep sweetheart no more.
Mm-hmm.
And then red running my eye, woman calling me pie. Mm-hmm. If my girlfriend leave me, I ain't going to die.
That's true. Right. They're expressing themselves, yes, in song, which is needed. Express yourself in your art. Yeah. Your pain should not live inside of you. Get it out of you. However you get it out of you, get it out of you.
And try and find a method, though, that doesn't harm
others. Yes.
And I think that's what people...
Yes, a healthy method of getting it out of yourself.
Right.
Yes. And art is definitely a healthy method.
Right. Because people, they want to get it out of themselves, but because they're in trauma,
mm-hmm.
they don't necessarily know
how to
moderate it. Right? Like, how do I give myself permission to be free, but then also turn around and moderate that expression of self so as not to hurt other people?
Yes. So let's go back to the men. I think society does men some injustice, and we don't allow men to cry. I remember even from boys in the Bahamas, we tell them just to stop crying. You know, you need to cry, but God gave them tears. You know,
mm-hmm.
I see why men, and it happens from generation to generation. A grandfather told the son not to cry. Now the father telling his son not to cry. I think we should allow our boys to share their tears if they're sad, and allow them to express themselves, even though it might not be, you know, in a manly way. Would they say what exactly is a manly way? Because when the boys grow up, it seems like they are now emotionally unavailable. They don't even know how to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They hold those emotions inside, and then they are internally not healthy mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know about it, because they don't even talk to you about it.
I want to throw something on the table. Very bold of me, because I'm not a health expert.
I'm not a health expert either, but I can tell you who is.
Right? That I imagine that the health of a marriage depends on the health of the primary relationships, right, of the spouses. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with your primary caregivers will impact greatly your ability to manage and navigate a successful marriage. And I mean to say manage and navigate, because a marriage is successful not because it has no ups, no downs in it, but because you can manage and navigate
it.
The ups and downs
together.
Right. And like you're holding hands,
yes,
but you have elastic hands.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your hands are stretched as far as the body can stretch, but the fingertips are still together.
Mm.
And then sometimes you're pulled in close to the point where you're hugging.
Yeah.
And sometimes it stretches back out. Like a storm could come.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And daddy has to go to the island to live with Grammy to help her rebuild the house, because she's there by herself. And we're going to hold down the fort in Nassau. And we're going to go, right? And we're going to go on the boat as often as possible. Yeah, we can't afford to fly every weekend.
Yeah.
And those sorts of tensions. Okay, now.
I like that analogy. I like that elastic analogy.
Celebrating divorce. I watch a bunch of fancy
people. Give me an example of celebrating divorce, Aaron.
So I watch fancy people on TV, and they just have a party.
Mm.
Like how you have a reception for your wedding. They have a cake. And it's usually the women. I can say this, right? This is a gendered thing. It's usually the women with the cake, and then they have the man on his knees, or right? The what used to be the happy wedding couple are now the divorced couple wedding cake toppers, mm-hmm. and people celebrate divorce. That's an oxymoron yeah. to me. How do you?
I don't know if that sit well with me to celebrate divorce, because let me say, I'm not an advocate of divorce. I believe in marriage. I believe God ordained marriage, and marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful partnership if you put God first and you are two healthy individuals willing to do the work, the good, purposeful work together. So I don't know about celebrating divorce, but I believe in, I'm an advocate for healing and celebrating yourself, maybe celebrating yourself that you got out of a bad situation, mm-hmm. celebrating yourself that you now found who you are again. So I believe in celebrating your healing, but not actually celebrating a divorce, because divorce is not a good thing. Divorce has a lot of uncertainty. It breaks families apart. If I really believe deep down, if people who got a divorce would really wish that they could have worked it out in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. So they're probably celebrating the fact that they left a bad situation, I'm hoping, but not actually celebrating the breakup of the family or the breakup of, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How many, and I just realized that, I got a text here, I want to read the text, right? The text is sort of off and away from the conversation, okay. but they don't know how it circles back.
Okay.
Texas says, boy, man ties himself to tree in Dorian. That's Ragged
yes,
Island.
I hear you say that.
Island Burns, that's Andrus, Abaco, little bit Exuma, little bit of Grand Bahama, Barefoot Bandit, Sante Kims and the Missing Accountant. I didn't even hear that story. We could make an action-packed Netflix series about life in the Bahamas. Joe Farrington, Fire Plume from Airplane. Where are you getting these scripts from, Dexter?
Please tell us.
17-year-old puts on mask in bank parking lot. You can't make these stories up. We just need 2 to 4 good-looking leads, and we straight Netflix gold.
Wow.
There's this phrase that the young people are using now. That's my movie.
That's my movie?
Yeah. Oh. That's your significant, like, that's my movie. That's my action flick. That's my life.
That's your life.
That's
okay.
my entertainment. That's my movie.
Oh, that's your movie. Okay.
Right? I think about all of these things. Living in this country could be stressful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
The uncertainty about crime. Will I be a victim of crime? Am I, with the move to the digital world, producer, let's prep this call. Am I already a victim of crime?
Yes.
Right? I hear in the real world on the internet, is somebody criming me?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Right?
Job uncertainty, whether eat food uncertainty because the prices are very high.
Right. Then there is a need for a collective mental health practice for people who live in a hurricane zone. Right?
Yes.
And at the national level, are we acknowledging the impact that not just experiencing a small storm, yeah. experiencing a
Category 5,
a devastating storm, but just the constant fear that this may be the year.
Yes.
This may be the storm that I take the big hit. And are we doing enough as a people to provide resources for each other, but then also the impact, how do married couples deal with this type of stress, and how do the leaders of a household, right? Because that's what married couples are. They are a unit, they are the leaders of a household. They have these children and their army, and every day they got to fulfill whatever their tasks are,
yes.
right? And how does this type of uncertainty impact marriages and lead to divorce, you know?
Everything, whether it's in a country, in a household, rises and falls on leadership. So we need leaders who have vision. We need leaders who have strategies. We need leaders who are thinking ahead. And honestly, God put the man at the head. Ladies, we don't always want to say it, but he put the man at the head. Okay? He put the man at the head. And sometimes, if a man doesn't have those adequate leadership skills, the house can come mm-hmm. crumbling down. But I definitely believe when it's a hurricane, you will see somebody who has great leadership skills, you will see them preparing for hurricane even way before the time. You will mm-hmm. see them have their goods already in a cupboard. that those lanterns, those candles are already stocked. He really, I want to say, teaching his children what to do mm-hmm. in case of a storm.
Now, I'm sure there are about 17 people who are like, Aaron, you can just let her say that. The man is the head. I will let her say what she believes.
The Bible says the man is the head. Head of the household.
And the woman is the helpmate.
Here's a question. How many people that you engage on the show, maybe people even sending in questions, how many people talk about pre-marriage counseling? How many people take that as a serious part or take it seriously in the process of getting married? Because what I'm going to say in response to you saying the man is the household, I think it's important for that man to be in relationship with someone who mm-hmm. believes the same thing.
Yes.
And that we don't have to believe the same thing, but we should be aware of what our spouse believes, and yes. we should determine whether these belief systems can cohabitate. Better than cohabitate, can they work together to create a legacy and to drive our children into the future?
Yes. So we grew up in the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. We're a Christian nation. We've been to church. So most premarital counseling comes. You know, you're excited to get married. You're excited for the wedding. You have to attend 6 weeks of premarital course from right. the church in order for them to marry you. Is that sufficient? Is that adequate? Is that adequately preparing you for marriage? Some things, honestly, about marriage or other situations, you cannot learn until you're on the job. Some things you got to learn on the job. But we can do more in preparing people for marriage before, mm-hmm. before maybe a longer time than the 6 weeks before that wedding time. Because that wedding time, everybody excited. We ready to get this done. They're more excited about the wedding, but less prepared for the marriage. That's what I see a lot in the Bahamas.
With your experience on the show, engaging guests and your research, what's your position on arranged marriages?
Do we have that here in the Bahamas, Anne?
We have that here?
Oh, one family say, hey, my son wants marry your daughter.
Gilbert Morris shared a beautiful flyer a few days ago about the evolution of marriage mm. and the social components, right? And marriage used to be a contract, the bringing together of two families to maintain or to grow a legacy. And now things like love and attraction are a big part of getting married.
Yes.
I don't know what you're into, but we know that arranged marriages work for some people in some cultures.
And I've heard that it works for them in those cultures, and it actually has a better survival rate than us who talk about the love. But I really believe that it is not love that keeps a marriage. It's not love. You can love somebody and your marriage may not work. Firstly, you both healthy, you both serving God. You both have your own relationship with God, and you both putting 100% into the work. Not 50-50, 100%, 100%. When he's weak, you got him. When she's weak, you got her. And when both of y'all are strong, you come together as a unit in purpose. So I feel like it's purposeful work. But love, if you think love is a feeling, that feeling that starts to disappear.
Lust is a feeling.
Yes.
Right?
And love is a decision.
Right.
And the work
that you do.
And the work. And the unselfish work.
Right.
And the unselfish work.
With the arranged marriages,
yes.
In this process, you learn to love each other. In more Western style marriages, you have to learn how to maintain the love.
Yes. How to maintain it.
And so it's an interesting exploration into culture.
Yes. So maybe we should teach in the premarital, when that feeling goes, how do you maintain that? How do you come back after you start to drift? Because we don't talk about when that hard time kicks, what do we do? How do we actually do it? We might talk about it in the theory sense, but what do we actually do? Because faith without works, again, is dead.
And how important is a collective spiritual practice in terms of your observation? How many people going through divorce didn't have a collective or they didn't share with each other about their personal practice and how many, mm-hmm. you know, wish that they did.
It is so important, again, to have your individual relationship with Christ. But again, coming together as a family and going to church, coming together as a family and reading the Bible, coming together in a family as praying is invaluable because you are now protecting your family as a unit. Mm-hmm. And even though they say the man is ahead, it starts with him, but I believe that a woman is there to help. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's there to help. If some things that he doesn't know, I can say, hey, let's help. He has to be open to the help. But as a collective, it's very important to go to church together, to pray together, and to just seek God in hard times together.
Absolutely. Tell people how to find the podcast, what days do you post new episodes, and how to contact you if they want to be a part of the podcast.
Hey, Bahamas. My podcast is called A Safe Space. If you are on that healing journey, you want to join me, contact A Safe Space on YouTube at A Safe Space _ podcast, on Facebook at A Safe Space _ podcast, or Instagram. You can also contact me. My email is michaelaroll@hotmail.com.
And that's M-I-C-H-E-A-L-A?
M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-A-R-O-L-L-E @hotmail.com. If you are going through something, whether you're divorced or... before I go, the singles been telling me, ma'am, singles need healing too, you know. So yes, singles, I hear you. So I started a safe space talking about divorce and talking about marriage, but the singles are also crying. It's coming, singles. Okay, we hear you. There's healing in singleness also.
Absolutely. And yes. I think you have to heal in singleness before you can matriculate.
To get to that point.
Marriage.
I'm ready for marriage, yes.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Guys, I hope you all remember. Just remember to say a little prayer.
Say a little prayer.
For yourself, for your loved ones.
Yes.
For those who you love but can no longer be in relationship with.
Yes.
And make space for others who say a little prayer for people who you think they shouldn't be saying a little prayer.
Yes.
For.
And create a safe space for others.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thank you to the texters. This gentleman has a movie. We're going to talk about it. And hopefully I can have you back and we can talk more about the impact that financial stress puts on marriages and how that can lead to divorce.
Yes, my accounting side, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. You guys have a great day. CA Nurian Guardian Radio AM is up next. I think it's Dr. Cleveland Enius the third day, so I'm going to stop talking and put myself in the corner like a good woman does at church. You guys have a great day. Mean heartbreak for